get in a hurry to get away from where God have been waiting on us to get there for a while. And as they were singing and I was in my chair and looking and observing and thinking about the things that we have been praying for, then when God started to bring in our prayer, answer to our prayers, we want to hurry up and get away from where God have gotten us to. I'm standing here and I'm wishing that y'all could see by page number 4 or 5 in my message. And I might not get to it, but it says in there that we need to do what we do to God to praise Him and worship Him. See, so many times we wait till we get here to praise Him and to worship Him. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Don't wait till you get here. Don't wait till you get here to praise God. If you did anything, you should have started praising Him for today, last Sunday, right after you got dismissed from that Sunday worship service. Just praise Him. And when you praise Him, He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you because His word says so. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Even the birds, when they get a drink of water, you watch one the next time. He dip his beak in the water and then he turns his face up. Somebody says he's saying, thank you, Lord. See, we think sometimes because we are on a church roll and we attend church that we got to think, no, you are obligated to praise Him. And if you look around and worry about the other people, what they gonna think of you because you praise Him, you got your ideas at the wrong place. There ought to be, and there is, one spectator in worship service, and that's God. All the rest of us are participants, but most of the time, help the Holy Ghost. We sit up there like we're at a tennis match and just watch the ball go back and forth. No, you got to be. The subject today, why you should praise the Lord. This is a prime example of why you ought to praise Him. Because when the praises go up, the blessings gonna come down. You just ought to praise Him because He's worthy to be praised. And if you worry about the other people around you, you're missing something. And I know you could think of somebody else that should have been here today, this morning, but God said they wasn't gonna be here. Because He got you here today. Somebody need to understand that you just need to praise Him. And you can praise Him by yourself. But if you praise God, you won't be by yourself. Because He will be there in the midst. Let me let you hurry up and let y'all get out of here. But we're going to praise Him while we're here. We live in a world cursed by sin and filled with problems. As a result, some people are prone to focus on their troubles rather than on their blessings. As we witness the tragedies of the world and endure the trials of life, we can quickly lose sight of the fact that the earth is full of God's goodness. It's full of it. But the challenge is presented by living through the circumstances can easily cloud our vision of the one who is greater than those challenges that we have. Ushers, you can sit down. Y'all can take a seat. Sit down. We do not know who composed this psalm, Psalm 33. Nor do we know the occasion that it was written for. But we do know this. As the people of God, we always have an abundance of causes to rejoice in the Lord. And we should lift our hearts in unison to his holy name. Listening in Sunday school, people were talking about how God has blessed them. As many people as there are in here today, there are twice as many blessings that's in here. Because every one of us that I'm looking at, don't any of you look like you're asleep. He woke you up this morning. We have a tendency to look for the great big things for God, to give God credit for. The little things. Cancer that consumes our body starts off as one cell. And then it continues to grow. And I think you get my drift. Point number one. The Lord deserves to be praised. Verse 1, 2, and 3. The psalmist called the righteous to praise the Lord. To rejoice in him means to sing or shout aloud. It is an audible rather than a silent praise. And let me stop right there for a minute. Just because I'm audible and vocal in my praise and you are right beside me and you don't move or you don't ever clap your hands or do anything, you just, yeah. Just sit there. You still praise him the way you praise him. Because all of those of us that are audible with our praise, if God were to show us to you in our yesterdays, we were just like you. I'm just waiting on some of you. So I can just look at you and just laugh. And just remember how you used to just sit there and I know some of you at Lebanon, my seat, we had two little aisles and mine was right here on the first row, just like this right here. And my wife is sitting there, she can test. I'll sit there with my Bible, had my Thompson Chain Bible, had my three-piece suit on, had my Rockports, and I would just sit there. Some of the other deacons, some of them will be sitting on the front row and they just be praising God. I'll just be sitting there. Just like this right here. Wouldn't say anything. Wouldn't clap my hand. If they asked me to pray, I'd get up and pray. Whatever they asked me to do, I'd get them to do it. But I showed no emotions. I just sat there. But one of those days,
one day,
I kept coming. And I kept coming. And all of my inhibitions went down the drain. I didn't care. I remember the day. I don't know what she remembered. They had me to get up. They had the pastor's appreciation or something. And they had me to say something about the pastor. And I got up and I stood up on this side. And before I knew it, I was on the other side. And that wasn't me. I just stood there and did what I was supposed to do. But then when I went over on this side, I couldn't stay on this side. I went back to the other side. God had taken all of that away from me. And I'm saying that for somebody else that don't worry about what everybody else gonna be thinking about you. Because see, I was a spectator. I was trying to be something that I was not supposed to be. I told you before, there's only one spectator in worship service. And it was not Dwight Baggett. I should have been a participant, but I was not. And I'm not saying that because I wasn't vocal. My mind and my heart at that time, what's this? This is November, isn't it? This is getting down to the last half of the NFL season. The last half. And they're playing week number 9, I think, today, 9 or 10. That's where my mind was. And I was sitting there, my mind was, If it was in December or January, I'll say, well, I played a ball game last night. I got to go by the gym and wash my uniforms and do all this. My mind was not where it should have been. Not because I wasn't up there doing being emotional, but I was not there. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Become a participant. And you don't have to be like nobody else, but participate in the service, because God is expecting us to worship Him. We were created to praise Him. And point number one is, like I said, the Lord deserves to be praised. And you can praise Him silently too, but praise Him. The psalmist in this psalms is inviting the congregation to worship the Lord cooperatively or as a body. It is appropriate for those of us who have been forgiven to unite our voices in praise. Unite in praise, in exalting the Lord. When we sing a hymn of praise, God's people are celebrating God's faithfulness, His power and His sovereignty, and His unfailing love. When we consider who God is and all that He does, only one response is appropriate. That's adoration of the Lord through praise. Praise by the righteous and the upright. Genuine worship may only be expressed by those in fellowship with the Lord. Genuine worship may only be expressed by those in fellowship with the Lord. Genuine worship may only be expressed by those that are in fellowship with the Lord. Genuine, not fake. Not part-time. Not like in the heat of the night where they play having church. We don't need to do that. And sometimes we do that when we come to serve the Lord. Righteous and upright are synonyms which speaks of people who are constantly obeying God's command. When our fellowship with the Lord is hindered by sin, so is I worship. Sin will hinder you from worshiping the Lord. Sin will hinder you from worshiping the Lord. We need to get sin out of our lives if you are going to worship the Lord in genuine and in truth. If anyone can offer praise to the Lord, but only the adoration of the godly is accepted to Him. Only that of those that know Him in the forgiveness of their sin is praise received. I was listening to Sirius Radio the other day, and this record that Sister Shirley Caesar have on there about how she was playing church. Going down, I forgot she even gave the name of the church. Where she would go down there to and listen to them every Sunday, and then she'd come back home and she'd play church. Her and the children. And her sister and brother said, brother would always be the pastor. Said he had some glasses, he'd put them down on his nose like this, and he'd preach. And so this day she got out there, said she knew she wasn't saved now, because mama would tell her to wash the dishes. She'd argue back at her mama, talk back at her and everything. And so she knew she wasn't saved. Said, but this Sunday, this day when they come back and they start playing church, and she got out there, said, brother said, everybody stand up and clap your hands and say, I love Jesus. She said she jumped up first and she started doing it. And said, but she shouted so long, said her sister went in there and said, mama, Shirley out there playing church. Said, mama, come to the door and looked out and said, nah, she ain't playing. See, when you get real with the Lord, you don't have to tell nobody. You don't have to tell anybody. Just praise Him. Because somebody, whether you know it or not, have been praying for you. And can I say, if you've been praying for me, don't stop. All right. Keep right on praying, because we are in need of prayer. Praise, we praise him by exalting him in music. This is what that's what I meant when I said a while ago about when Brother Derek get to playing sometime. I know. I listen to y'all and I hear y'all thinking, when they get to playing and singing and seem like he going too long and y'all want him to quit. Yeah, they do that to you too, Brother Derek. And they do it to me too, so don't feel rained on. And y'all that pray, they do it to you when you praying too. So they want you to quit. But see, their day haven't come yet. When God get to working on them, we gonna be saying the same thing. Why don't he huddle up and sit down? I'm tired. He just get up there. No, your day gonna come. Because that's what you plant, you gonna harvest. And that's why I guess I look at the clock when I was in that seat at Lebanon. By this time, I'd be looking at my watch. The game then was coming on at 12 o'clock. I'm saying, I got to get to Crestview, and it's 12:30, and Reverend Randall's still up there preaching. That's why sometimes I think about taking that clock down up there and put it up here and let y'all look at it, and not me. But he called the congregation to fervently celebrate the Lord in psalms. The psalmist encouraged us to sing unto him. Unto him. If these people up here that's singing and playing, if they playing for you, they need to quit. They need to quit. If I'm standing up here preaching so you are like me, I need to quit. Because I'm not doing it for you. And if they're not doing it for you, it's done unto the Lord. You just happen to be blessed to hear it. God is the one that we need to be singing and praising. We need to be praising him for all the great things that he has done. Music in a church is not performed for the congregation, but for God. He is the audience. And I know I've said that before today. He's the audience. He's the one that you're doing it for and to. The psalmist ordered the congregation to sing a new song to the Lord, because God continuously showered his grace and his blessings upon us. Our song should not only celebrate what God has done, but also what he is doing right now and what he's going to do in the future. This does not mean that we cannot repeat the same song in worship. All songs are acceptable to God as long as we sing them in the sincerity of our heart. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Stand by me, Lord. All of the old ones are go down, Moses. If they are done from your heart and they are done unto God, you are praising him. And sometimes we forget what got us to the point where we are now. When we didn't have the keyboards and the drums and the guitar, when we didn't have anything but the seven shape, when somebody on the wood floor had to stomp the foot so you could get the beat to sing. We have forgotten that, but that's what got us to the place where we can play keyboards and guitar and drum and just sing praises unto God today. But it has to come from the heart. If we would not have done that, we would not be where we are today. That's why every now and then, and Pastor, who's not what I was talking about, my moderator Williams, he, and don't y'all get the big head. He said, I know when I come to Macedonia, I'm gonna go old school to church. He said the deacon's gonna line a hymn, and they not gonna be too many keyboards and guitars just play while they lining that hymn. Said they're gonna sing it a cappella. He said, and that takes me back to where I used to be. Every now and then, it's good to go back to where you used to be. Don't forget where God done brought you. Even in the Bible, God reminded the children of Israel after about him bringing them out of Egypt. And you know to me why he's reminded of that? He said, praise me. Give me the honor that I need to have based upon what I've done for you. Children, every now and then, mom and daddy, I want to remind you of what they've done for you. Especially when you get there and you get to thinking you've grown. Still staying in my house, putting your foot under my table, eating, and you think you're grown. I need to remind you. Remind you of what I've done for you. And when God reminded them, he was telling them, praise me for what I've done for you. Throughout history, God's people have expressed their praise through music. We should sing or play skillfully, always offering our best to God. Music in the church is for God and not men. We should worship sincerely. We should guard against allowing our praise to become stale. We should praise the Lord spontaneously. It should be something 90% of the time that you have no control over. You are there because of your love and your adoration for God. And just because you don't praise him like everybody else, don't you stop praising him the way you praise him. Because one of these days, we'll all be on the same sheet. For us praising God, and that's when he comes back to receive us into the kingdom. The goodness of our great God should stir our soul. It should ignite a fire of passion within us. While there's time in the church, while sometimes there may be time in a church for church service when worship is intentionally quiet, there are times when we have those meditative moments in service where nobody is saying anything, which is like it was a few minutes ago when Brother Derek was just playing and everybody, then nobody was singing. Everybody's listening and meditating on this word of where God have already brought you from. You need to give God the glory and praise him. And listen, if the only time you praise God is when you're in worship service, you missing it. Next week, you can worship God when you think about what went on in service. I pray that there's some nuggets that you get from service that will take you through all next week. I get mine because every now and then I go back and put in an old CD and I listen to it. And I'm glad that I have the windows rolled up because I just get to going right along with it. And this part about worshiping God in praise and then singing songs, most of us, I do believe this because I'm talking about me mostly right now. Most of us, me, my worship a lot of the time is just nobody but me and God. I have one magnificent moment about worshiping God. I don't remember the year, but I remember where I was. I was in a 1974 orange Volkswagen. Had carried it to Tallahassee to leave it with my son. Drove my other vehicle in that one. So when we got to Tallahassee, it started acting up. And I didn't want to leave with him because he was in school. I said, well, you keep my vehicle and I'll take the Volkswagen back. I was driving that 1974 Volkswagen back doing about 55 miles an hour. Driving along that interstate, just praising God because we didn't think the Volkswagen was going to make it back to Crestview, and I was just praising God all the way back. And this lady come up beside me and saw me. I was singing and praising God and crying, and she saw me. She slowed down and honked her horn, and she said, "Mister, are you all right?" I looked out. I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm all right." And she drove on. But see, you got to find that time when you can praise God. And if it's when nobody else is there, you need to praise him. You have everything you need to praise God. If you can vocalize and God is already there, there's a big word they say, it's called omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere. God was on the interstate. Wherever you need for him to be, he's there. But you just have to worship him and praise him for all that he's done. If you think God haven't done anything for you, you are vastly wrong. And guess what? He's not through doing yet. You need, we need to praise God. And if you don't think he's done anything for you, find me. Just what have God done for me lately? I can tell you. And I haven't been with you all your life, but I can tell you, he allowed you to be able to ask that question. We have got to understand that God is a God that loves us. And, well, I'm standing here looking at back there at Sister Pat's daughter and her husband and her children. And I lay you odds that the first word that young man said, if she said, "Dad, Dad, Mama," I lay you odds they got on the phone and called somebody and told them what they said. Because Novella did that with Patrick and Laura. She just, he said, she said. Don't know what they said, but they said something. If we are like that by our children, how do we think God is about what we do? Tell somebody about what God has done for you. The best testimony that there is for each one of us to tell our own. That's giving God the praise. And I know the young people back there, they said, "I don't have anything to praise him about." Yes, you do. You got 2 pair of jeans. You sleep in a warm bed. And you're not home. Point number 2. Verses 4 and 5. The Lord's word is trustworthy. That's why you ought to praise him. The Lord's word is trustworthy. We can never exhaust the reasons to worship the Lord. But the psalmist offers some specific reason for us to praise him. To show we should, one, we should sing to our Lord because he has given us his word. And we can trust what he says. The word of the Lord is right. It's upright. And it's straight and true. You can trust God. You can trust all that he does because he is faithful. The Lord has also revealed in his word that he is faithful in all his works. Along with everything else, he says that we can trust everything that God does because God's ways are higher than ours. We cannot understand all that he does, but we know that he always acts in truth. We cannot understand what God is doing in our lives or why he is doing it, but we can trust him. And just simply, brothers and sisters, we must get to the point where we trust in God. Might not understand why or how, but I trust you. You can trust his love. God has revealed his heart to us in his word. He loves righteousness and judgment because he loves righteousness. Whatever he does is right. Because he loves justice, whatever he does is just. God will not make a mistake. He's too just to make a mistake. He's right. I might not understand, but he's still God. And we must, and he's right in all this, and then because he must condemn sin. He must condemn sin because if he does not condemn sin, he needs to go back and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. If he does not condemn sin, he needs to do something so the devil can get straight. But he condemns sin because sin is out of his will. So we need to make sure that we stay within his will. But at the same time that he does all this and bring justice to us, he still loves us. Because if he did not love us, it would be a lot worse than what it is. God, even in his discipline, there's love. He loves us because he is disciplined. When you discipline, you're doing it because somebody have got outside of the boundaries that you set up. And when they get outside of them, there need to be consequences. He disciplines us because he loves us. If he didn't love us, he'd just let us run haywire, and then all those would end up in hell. Because he's going to judge you. I want him to love me and chasten me now. And he loves us, so he's going to chase us. God created the earth to be a wonderful place for humanity, filled with the things that we need and a multitude of other things for our enjoyment. Therefore, we should praise the Lord because he has given us his word. And God's word is completely reliable. We can trust the word of God because we can trust the God of the word. If God gives his word, you can take it to the bank. It's better than American Express. You can take it there because his word will come true. It's all we need, the word of God. Point number three. The Lord is the creator. The theme says we were created to worship him. And because he is the creator, the psalmist charged us to praise the Lord because of his wonderful works in creation. Through creation, God has revealed his existence to every human being, along with his eternal power and preeminence over all things. Not only did he make all things, but the Lord also sustains all things. Whatever there is in the world, the Lord made it. And he created it for the enjoyment of man. There's not anything that man need that God did not already have here on this earth before he created man. I know with all of our modern day stuff now, we think that it hasn't always been this way, but it is. Let me see if I can get you to understand it this way. God created everything with man in mind. The sun, the moon, the stars was created with man in mind. Was going to need the sun and the moon to tell him about the seasons of the year. Before man even got here, God had made a way. Most of us now know that if I didn't know anything else about science and the weather, I could tell it was getting winter time because when I get up and look out the window at my house towards the east, the sun seemed to be moving towards the south. God created that so we would know that the seasons of the year is coming. Woke up this morning and I didn't realize why I did it now, but now I do that I was thinking about when it was going to get daylight. I woke up and I looked over at the clock. It was just before 6 o'clock, about 15 minutes to 6. I looked at the clock. I said, well, it's still dark outside. And I said, but it's 5:45. It ought to be getting daylight. And I said, it's wintertime. The sun started going towards the south. Daylight seemed to get shorter. That's a sign that God had in place before he created man. Because the sun and the moon and the stars were put there before man. See, God made a way for man before man even arrived. He was preparing for us to come to this place. He created the heaven and the star by merely speaking to them. There's power in the word of God. There is power in the word of God. Because nothing happened till God said. I think if you go back and read Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, you'll find about 9 or 10 times that God said. And every time it said that God said, something happened in the world. Something happened in the world that he created. God said. God said, God said, and this is Baggett talking. I know how it is in the word of God. It said that God got down by the water and there was nothing for his spirit to move on, and God spoke to the water and his spirit moved on the face of the water. See, God's spirit got to have somewhere to reside. That's why he says that he need to come and tabernacle within you. This is why you ought to praise him, because he made preparation for you before you arrived. Most of us, if we have children, we prepared for them before they were born. We got a little room and we set it up for them, preparing for them to come. Well, if you being man and being sinful, you can do that for your children. What do you think God gonna do for you? He prepared a mansion for you to live in when you come to him, but you got to know that you're going to praise him while you're down here. You just got to praise him, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to say this again. You got to praise him other than when you are in the what we call the sanctuary. You are the church, and wherever the church go, praise for God ought to go right along with it, because praise and God and the church go right along together. If you going to praise God and you're a genuine praiser, you will praise him no matter where you are and no matter what you're doing. You praise this God because he's worthy to be praised. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Didn't know how I was going to do it, but he woke me up this morning, and when I went to bed last night, I told him, I said, God, I'm going to sleep, and I thank you for not going to sleep. I thank you for watching over me, but oh, while I'm in my sleep, let me praise you while I'm sleeping, God. I want to just praise you all the time, because praise is who I am and praise is what I do. Brothers and sisters, you got to praise him. You might praise him different from anybody else. I thought about Brother Bernard and Brother Derek and Brother Herb. They praise him on those instruments when they get over there and get to playing, and sometime the Holy Spirit will move in them like it will in you when you're singing or when you're out there just worshiping God. When he moves on you, you gotta let him come, because if you quench the spirit, you will hurt yourself. You will deny yourself of blessings. Listen, when you praise him, he's looking at you. He knows when you're real and when you're not real. You can be faking and fooled by it, but you can't fool God. Baggage can be faking and fool you, but he can't fool God. Brothers and sisters, we were created to praise him. And why we were created to praise him? Because he first loved me. He loved me enough to say that let us go make man. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In my mind, I can just see him going down by the banks of the river and forming man. But this one thing I love about him, he said he got down and he breathed in the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. Listen to me. You can't find in the Bible where he breathed in an ox or a sheep or any other animal that breathed, but he breathed in this animal, and this animal ought to praise him. He doesn't ask for the sheep to praise him, but he said for man to praise him, and if you praise him, he's going to bless you. I don't just praise him for him to bless me. I praise him because of who he is, and I know that if I don't receive a blessing, I don't need it anyway, because my Father only gives me what I need. If I'm a good father and I give my children what they need, why do I think God won't bless me with what I stand in the need? Listen, I know you got too much. Yes, you might think you have, but if God didn't want you to have it, you wouldn't have it. Thank you for your blessings, but I'm going to praise you if nothing else ever happened to me, because they used to sing a song, if you don't do anything else, you've done enough. What God done for us when Jesus went to Calvary was enough. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. Why is that enough? Because when he died long enough for him to come down and save me. 2,000 years later, the same blood that he shed on Calvary will save me today. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I'm going to praise praise you, if nobody else praise you, if I have to praise you by myself, I'm going to praise you because you're worthy to be praised. I'm going to praise you because they don't know where you brought me from. I'm glad that you brought me the way you brought me, because if you hadn't brought me the way you brought me, I wouldn't worship you like I do. I wouldn't praise you like I do, because you're worthy to be praised. I love you and I thank you for all that you've done. I can't praise you enough. Everybody ought to praise the Lord because he's been good to you. I remember where he brought me from. Lord have mercy. I know y'all get tired of me saying it, but he brought me, y'all. I don't know about you, but I just remember I used to, when I was growing up, we weren't poor, because we had the same thing that everybody else had. You might have had two pair of pants on a Sunday. Used to get those charcoal gray ones from Spiegel, autumn from Spiegel, and you get them and you try to keep them until last until the next summer when you could work and buy another pair. But then, but now I got two pair of pants. I don't have to wear the same pair on a Saturday that I wear on a Sunday. I know y'all looking at me real funny, but that's all right. That's how far God done brought me from. Don't have on the same shoes that I had on yesterday. Don't have on the same suit that I had on the other day, because God done blessed me beyond measure. And that's why I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him no matter what happened. Listen, when you need to tell somebody about the goodness of God, don't be ashamed to tell them where God done brought you from, to let them know that God is real and God will find you wherever you are. You can't get away from him. If you will worship him, God will find you. And when he find you, he'll shower you with his blessing. But you got to praise him. Everything that happened in the world, it began because God said something, or he did something. Let there be. I tell this, and I just believe this, and I see this in my mind, that darkness and light was at the same place. And God, knowing what he was going to do, looked at darkness and said, light, come out of there. And light came out. And he divided the day from the night, the light from the darkness. God can do that. But it was there. But nothing happened until God said, words are important. That's why so many times we tell parents and adults, watch your words that you say to young people. Because you could tell them something and it affect them. Words are important. God said, let there be light. And light came. But it was there all the time. God, the creator, you deserve to be worshipped. We praise you because of who you are. Don't allow Satan to stop you from praising God. Will you stand?